Blog Talk Radio.
It's just another day.
Opportunity to thank you all so much for being committed to the program and joining us on a daily basis, in spite of the fact that we tend to have technical difficulties from time to time, as yesterday was one of those times. I was not able to get in on the call for whatever reason and was not able to provide you with these wonderful words of encouragement, and we missed out on a message. Again, I do apologize. I'm sure that Blog Talk Radio is working on getting all of the kinks out, and we will be back on our normal schedule soon. As you all know, Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ, located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He's also going to be presenting our words of encouragement for today. But before we bring him on, I won't be taking prayer requests, but I do ask today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other and pray for every family represented on the call today, especially one of my husband's good friends. He's called Handyman. That you all pray for him as he has just lost his father. It's been a struggle for quite some time. He was showing some improvement, but then God decided that it would be best for him to leave this heavenly home, this earthly home. My apologies. So please keep them in your prayers that God will continue to keep his loving arm of protection over them, to guide them and provide them with comfort during this time of bereavement. I'll now bring you Brother Willie Bradshaw, who will provide us words of encouragement, followed by our closing prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. This is September already. August is already the boogity out of here. This is the September, and of course we have a holiday coming up, Monday. And we want you to be aware of that, not only be aware of it, but we also want you to be safe if you're doing any kind of travel, if anybody's coming your way, whatever it might be. Holiday is coming up, and we want you to be safe. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Riverdale area, it is black as 3 midnights outside. The sun has not peeked through as of yet, and it has been raining all night long. And so I'm hoping that you're in the dry somewhere. Of course, we want to keep all of our closest, we want to keep all of those in the Louisiana area once again, and some other areas in Mississippi and in Alabama who has received more rain than they really need and going through the flood situation. And we want you to make sure that you, and pray for our students too. And these kinds of things affects everybody. You would think it would just affect one or two things, but you'd be surprised how things is sort of like it just affects everybody. So pray for our students who are away from home in some of these areas, and that they remain safe. I know Brother Patrick Medlar's daughter attended in Louisiana, but she's back home safe now, and so we thank God for that. And other students along the way. One of the saddest things in the world is to not know God, not to know who he is, not to even be familiar with him. When his name is mentioned, you don't even flinch. Your eyes are, there's no emotions or nothing. Why? It's because it's neutral to you. That's one of the saddest things I would say in the world. And you would say, well, who don't know God? There are hundreds and thousands and millions of people who have not been confronted by God, or who haven't even met God, or have met a person who even knew God. Now there are some areas where God's name is not even mentioned, and so that's a sad situation. I remember in the book of Exodus, and I want to encourage you this morning as part of one of your readings to read the book of Exodus. Since this pandemic sort of got us stuck in the house, and some of you can't go nowhere, or you don't want to go nowhere, or something like that, I want you to read the book of Exodus. It's a fascinating book, and I want to make you aware of a couple of things. The first thing I want to make you aware of is Exodus chapter 5, and verse number 1 and 2. He says, "And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" It's a sad situation for somebody to make those kinds of statements and then not follow through with it and not accept what's going on with that. One of the positive outcomes, well, there's several in the Bible, but one of the positive outcomes that I can think of is the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when he was riding along in a chariot coming from his worship, coming from what he was used to worshiping. And the history says that he drove over 100 and something miles just to get to church. Some people live around the corner from a church and don't even go. But anyway, that's beside the point. But here's a guy who was going to his own worship 100 miles away from home, reading what was available for him. And Philip joined us up to the chariot, and he asked this question: who is this, who, in this passage, this scripture, whatever it is, who are they talking about? What's going on in this conversation? Now, in the first place, that was an open invitation for somebody to teach them. And every once in a while, you run across somebody and say, who are you talking about, or what are you saying? When you do, use some diplomacy when that question is asked. Don't go off on them. Don't turn ignorant and start talking about, what? You mean you don't know nothing about God, or you don't know nothing about the Lord? You telling me that you never read this particular book or in Sunday school? You mean your grandmama never did set you on her knee and talked about? Please don't go in that direction, because the Bible says that Philip began at the same scripture and taught unto him Jesus. And the reason why that I know that he kept this conversation open is because at the end he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip did not turn him off with that conversation. My plea to you is stop turning people off. Stop making them feel so ignorant, stupid, because really you're the one that's happening to at that particular time. Take time. That's a teachable moment. That's a teachable moment. Take time to use some diplomacy. Here in this passage, he says, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let your people go." Well, God would soon prove to him who he is, and he would soon let him go. Then in Acts chapter 9, Saul, when he was faced riding along, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then they sent down to Joppa and they sent down to different places that he might know the Lord. And so the Bible also indicates in the book of Philippians when it says that you're without Christ, aliens, strangers from the covenant promise, and without God and having no hope in the world. We have got to turn the tide on this religious situation. We've got to let people know who the Lord is. It's through either through material, through these programs that we have, such as this. And so the next time that you just happen to be talking to somebody and they happen to bring up a Bible passage or something like that, and you don't have to know it all, and you don't have to answer everybody's question, at least Jesus didn't. There were several times when Jesus was asked a question, and he didn't even answer it because he knew it was a trap. And so we don't have to fall in those kinds of traps. But sometimes when you're in the grocery store, you're this and you're that, and that conversation come up, take time to use a little diplomacy and drop a seed. Just sow a seed. That's all you got to do. You don't have to try to explain the whole Bible while you're standing there. But just sow a seed in that situation. Now, why would I say that? It's because in John 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, "But I'm come that thou may have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Most people look at the Ten Commandments as something that just God just don't want you to do nothing. Matter of fact, that's what we used to think about our mamas and our daddies. And neither did we understand, and some of us are still knuckleheads when it comes to that. They was only trying to protect us. They was only looking out for our best interests. When they tell you not to hang out with such and such a boy or girl, when they tell you not to hang out with such a group, this, that, and other, or no, you can't go to this place to go to that place, it really was for our best interest. It was not to just say no. It was not just to say you can't do nothing. You just be stuck up and unsociable all that kind of stuff. It really didn't center around none of those kind of negative things that we thought about. We thought that our mamas and daddies, grandmamas and grandpapas and whoever raised you, we thought they were some of the meanest people in the world. And I just can't wait to get out from under this household and to get in, and to get grown and start my own life. And I tell you what, most people who said that and who left home in a rage and left home hating their mamas and their daddies and stuff, and they still have not recovered from that yet. As a matter of fact, it's been a long time since you talked to your mama, since talked to your daddy, or the one that raised you, and you just could not wait to get out on your own. I'm getting out from under this hammer that they keep dropping on me. I can't do nothing. I can't go nowhere. I guarantee you that there are some people on this call this morning wish they could reverse that thing and go on back home. And some have. I know there's some people who wish they could reverse how they felt and what they said. And, you know, sometimes what we say is like butter. Once you spread it, you can't get it back. Egg, once you crack it open, you can't put it back. And so now it's time for healing. Now it's time for healing. So what must I do? When we ask a question, what must I do to be saved? Sometimes we talk about hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and have your sins completely washed away. But you know what? In addition to that, what must I do to be saved? Is to reconcile with your mama, reconcile with your daddy, reconcile with those who brought you up. Give them a call, send them a letter, make some kind of contact with them. Don't let the funeral be the first time that you have a family reunion. And don't let the funeral be the last time that you have a family reunion. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it's a sad thing for somebody not to know the Lord, but it's also a sad thing for somebody not to know their parents, to know that they love them, to know that they care for them, just like God cares for us. And so as God would tell us, no, don't do that. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be offended by that. Don't be ignorant and just go off on that. Sit down and concentrate. Take a minute. Look at that. Maybe they're right. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I need to change my attitude, change my direction for just a minute, because this thing may not turn out like it's supposed to turn out. So I know a lot of people who've left home in a rage and just left home just in stupidness, wished you could reverse it because home was not that bad. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and for we want everybody to be safe in this inclement weather, even though we need to rain sometimes. Be with those who are with the hospitals, hospice, and those who are caretakers. And we hope that we find ourselves worthy for your blessings on this day. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and have a super duper week.